The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you heading up until 2 o'clock. You know, an hour ago, we introduced Sterling as the next member of the Zone moving forward here from 10 to 2 Monday through Friday. And the joke was how long Sterling would last before he moved on like Corey and Josh did. Well, it was the shortest tenure ever because Sterling is out, and let's introduce the next part of the show moving forward. This man and this voice that'll be part of the Zone moving forward as well here on Sports Radio 810. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I got to know where you guys get these sunglasses, though.
I stole it off Chad's desk, but don't tell him.
Okay, well, I got to go by and steal some, too.
Yes, do that.
I'm left out right now.
Right, I know.
You can't join the show with no glasses here.
Here's what I would do. Just stare up there. See what happens. Yeah. Just stare. You know what? It'll go all dark for you.
It's a half eclipse, isn't it? It's a half one.
It will go dark for you. I'll tell you that much. It's been a full eclipse for me ever since I just stared for 5 minutes straight into the sun. I'm not sure what happened. That's the voice of Jack Johnson. And he will also be joining the show, The Zone, here on Sports Radio 810 in a different types of capacity. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. We're just going to have some fun, man. But you will be a part of the show moving forward. So I'm pumped to have you. And I think the higher-ups were like, look, Jason, you can't hold on to a co-host. So what if we just put like 15 people there? And if one leaves, people won't notice. Or if four or five leave, we'll still have like 10 people there. What if you did that? Can you run off two people at the same time? That's the real question.
This really is Spinal Tap drummer. Like, we're just going all in right here.
Yeah, it's the second time you've referenced that, and I didn't get it the first time, so I'm 0 for 2 now. Seen the movie, but still don't get the reference.
You got to eventually learn this. You'll learn this about me.
I don't have to do
anything. You'll learn this about me, Jason.
Don't make me do anything, Sterling, okay? I'm pretty stubborn, okay? If you tell me to do something, I won't do it. I will gladly do it on my own until you ask me to do it. Hell no! No chance I'm folding that laundry now! I guess you shouldn't have asked me to do it! Just joking. It's actually not a conversation we've had. I don't know. Nice. Just joking. But Jack, welcome in, man. I am pumped to have you as a part of the show, dude.
I'm glad to be here. I actually like the unknown of the role that it will be. I mean, sometimes it's going to be me in here. Sometimes it'll be Sterling. But, man, it's easy to do radio when you got three people bouncing ideas. Four people, excuse me, because Dylan's back there. I mean, that's exactly right. It's the way that we should do this, a round table, if you will. We got so much to talk about all the time and great minds in here, so we can get into it.
I love it. Tell people about yourself, Jack, who you are, what you do, what's your sign, and what do you enjoy to do at night?
Yes, I've been working here now for about 2 to 3 years, a little bit of night hosting as well, kind of alongside Sterling every once in a while. We trade off on days, but produce over on ESPN Wichita. I'm a simple guy, though. I really like my life being revolving around sports. Like, what I do when I'm home, I watch sports, watch shows, hang out, have a good time. I don't do anything too crazy here. So if somebody was expecting me to have this crazy, fun, outgoing personality like Josh did, now Josh really had that big,
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, no, we don't speak. Ilya of the Dead now. But yeah. No, I'm a simple guy, man. I'm just a sports fan and like talking about sports.
Love it, man. So we're going to have some fun here in the show moving forward. Sterling's going to be a part of it. Jack's going to be a part of it. Dylan, you're not going anywhere, right? Like, not in the next week or so?
No. No plans.
Okay, great.
No plans on my end.
So. I'm just making sure. Like, I'm just waiting for the next conversation. You know, I've had a couple of them already. You know, those Dear John letters.
After the show, though, we do need to
I get it. I totally understand
that. Unrelated.
Yeah. And I don't think it's me. I don't think it's me as to why, you know, some people have left. Why it was Shane and then Beards and Dylan and Corey to Josh to Sterling and Jack. I'm not sure. I don't know
the coaching
reason.
Carousel.
That's right. Yeah. That's
more NIL opportunities out there.
What am I, Drake? You know, I'm just finding really good coaches and then sending them off into the world. Now go make something of yourself. You're now a qualified host. Go to Salt Lake City. Well done, sir. I have no idea. Not sure. I think maybe it's because I'm so easy to get along with that I don't demand people that you will not leave. If you leave, I will hunt you down, and I will make your life a living hell. I should have said that.
it might be more of a threatening approach now. If you can, if you threaten Sterling and I,
yeah,
I mean, I go anywhere. If you make it like, oh, you know, the door's always open.
Go.
You can have one foot out the door.
Whatever makes you happy, man. Just live your life. You know, live and let live. It's what they said in Spinal Tap.
Yep. When I think of Jason, I think of threatening. Yeah, that body type and his demeanor, I think of threatening right there.
Come on. Yeah. Come on, man. You know, it's, my dad used to say, what do you want, 6 months in prison or sudden death? What do you want? Or 6 months in the hospital or sudden death? Either way, I'm going to prison. But what would you like to have happen, huh? He also had an arm that wouldn't extend all the way, so that's why he said, you know, 6 months in the hospital, his arm, he couldn't move. What do you want, 6 months in the hospital, my arm didn't move, or just sudden death? Because this right hand is strong, man. It's like Popeye.
Last year?
No, this was his entire life. He's passed now. So he passed a couple weeks after the Royals won the World Series. So, see, he was alive, watched the Royals win the World Series. My son was born, able to FaceTime with him while he was in the hospital, so he did meet my son. So there's some sad and some fun and some good and some positive that from all of that. But and I took with me the, 6 months in the hospital or sudden death line.
Got
that going for me. Or when something happens around the house and my kids are like, Daddy, was that you? I'm like, that was a mouse on a motorcycle. Right across the floor right there. You hear that? Mouse on a motorcycle right there.
Spider bark.
Was not me. I have no idea. There's no mouse. It's not a motorcycle. Did you see it? No. Then how can you prove that's not what it was? Okay? Smart ass. Jack Johnson, Sterling Holmes, pumped to have both of you guys here. Jack, we were talking in the first hour about Caitlin Clark, about South Carolina, about the story that came out of it. My thoughts were people are watching and the eyes are there. The ratings are there for Caitlin Clark. And so the story of the college basketball season has been Caitlin Clark. And I think she is the greatest influence in bringing eyeballs to TV and attention being paid to women's basketball in the history. Women before her have done, you know, fantastic work as well. The story of yesterday might be Dawn Staley in winning two national championships in a three-year span. And since losing the SEC championship game in 2022, they are 80-1, with the one loss being Iowa last year in the Final Four. Yesterday for you, was that about Caitlin Clark? Is that the story? Is it South Carolina and Dawn Staley? Is it just people watching and all the records that are being broken? Like, how do you put yesterday sort of into the storyline context?
I'd probably say eyeballs more than anything. I mean, and it's not just that, you know, Caitlin Clark is a tremendous player. She was doing something that we haven't seen at the men's level in a long time, like in terms of how far she shoots it from beyond the arc, right? I don't think we've seen that since Jimmer Fredette, to be honest. And he was somebody that always got eyeballs on the TV for BYU, whether it was the tournament or if they got on ESPN. And that's kind of what Caitlin Clark was doing, but honestly, better than Jimmer Fredette, because Caitlin Clark's the best player in women's basketball. But then you have this story like South Carolina, where they dominated. It really was this perfect matchup that you could have sculpted for women's basketball in the national championship game. You've got the star and a really good Iowa team, but then also the best team in women's college basketball in South Carolina, and the story that they had. I mean, 80-1, I don't care if it's men's, women's, what level it is. 80-1 is damn near impossible to do. And to beat somebody like Caitlin Clark, who had, 18 points in the first quarter? I mean, she's unstoppable. There's no way. It's amazing to me that any college athlete can have that level of expectation, night in, night out. And there was never really an off night. Like, even on nights that she didn't shoot it that well, she probably had 30. And most nights when she was on, 45, 46. And these are shots that I would say a large part of the men's game can't or just aren't willing to shoot, because you know what? They're going to get yanked by their coach off the floor. Like, if you're just pulling up from 35 feet and you miss one of them, you're probably not getting a second one. But she's got that ability to make those shots. And I think when you have a player like that, it's unbelievable to watch. Like, I remember growing up before Caitlin Clark, and yeah, you go to the men's side, but you know, Steph Curry and Jimmer Fredette were kind of those two guys of, they could shoot it from about anywhere. You could guard them in half court. They will find a way to get a shot off, and the ball is going to go in. And that puts so many eyeballs on the sport, and we really haven't had a player like that. There's been great players, but in terms of eyeballs of, I can't believe what I'm seeing. You had that in Caitlin Clark, but the best thing was she was matched up against the best team, the best coach, it seems like now, in women's basketball. So I think more than anything, it was the overall eyeballs of just having greatness right in front of you.
The you mentioned sort of taking a shot and whether it's a good shot or bad shot. At the end of the first quarter, when Caitlin Clark had 15, and they showed the view from behind the basket on the opposite end of the court in front of the Iowa bench. And Lisa Bluter, the head coach of Iowa, she's on the sideline, and Caitlin Clark has Camila Cardosa on her, and she pulls up from three and a couple steps behind the arc, and Lisa Bluter is like, no, and it goes in, and she just turns around and walks back toward the Iowa bench, right? It's like, no, we want to – good job. Well done. All right. Well done.
Never a doubt.
Like, even Caitlin Clark, even the head coach of Caitlin Clark at some point is like, I need to rein it in. Nope, I'm not going to do it. Because at that point, when she's knocking down shots the way that she is, take any shot you want. But I think Lisa Bluter wanted her to – run a little bit more clock. You know, it's the end of the first quarter, and she's like, I got Cardosa on me. She's giving me space. I know she's 6'7", but I'm back here. This is a pretty easy jumper for me. They're not a hand in my face. This is pretty comfortable. I'll just knock it down, which is exactly what she did. But even that point of, like, what's a bad shot, what's a good shot, even her coach that has seen her take damn near half-court shots on a fast break was like, no, all right. Well done. Good shot, everybody.
It's only a bad shot if it doesn't go in.
That's what I told my coaches.
It's like when Damian Lillard hit that one on Paul George, and Paul George goes, I don't care what anyone says, it's a bad shot. It's like, no, it went in. That's a good. He knew what he could do in that situation. Caitlin Clark knew what he could do with Cardosa on her. It's a good shot.
See, you need to stay away from my son when we're coaching basketball, because, and coaching anything, Sterling, it's process over results, okay? Process over results. But Dad, I hit the ball hard. Right, but all you did was swing with your arm, son. Like, yeah. And imagine if you put your ass into it. Imagine if you get that back leg. Imagine if you actually turned your hips. Imagine if you kept your hands inside. Imagine if you went straight to the baseball. Imagine all of those things if you'd have done that. Yeah, but I hit the ball hard. That time, you did that time, and the same thing in basketball. So certainly, just stay away. Okay,
don't get near the shot. Is better than a turnover. Okay, so
I agree.
I want your son to start jacking shots up.
I have taught him that. I have taught him that because the inbound pass. There's a bigger kid on him, and he takes a step back, and it's a travel. I'm like, I'd rather you get your shot blocked than travel. A bad shot is better than a turnover. I'm with you on that.
See?
I'm with you on that. But just
because
the shot
goes in basketball
doesn't make it a good shot.
I will coach him in basketball, not baseball.
No. No, you stay away. You stay away.
Bad influence.
Yeah.
Everett, are you listening right now?
He's in school. If he's listening right now, there's an issue. There's a problem, okay? Get to work. Get to mathin', all right? You're going to be outside for like 45 minutes coming up 2 hours from now. All right, get to work, okay? Because they're all going to be outside with their glasses on. Hopefully the kids are smart enough to keep the glasses on and not be dumb and play jokes. And, oh, look, I'm going to stare up at the sun and then tell stories when you're 50 years old about what happened when you were in, fourth grade.
How old's your son?
He's 8.
Oh, I'd be worried. I would be very worried if I were you.
Yeah, of course I'm worried about the second graders are not smart, okay? They're not smart. He can't even really do multiplication. Like, what an idiot, right? I'm like, hey, can you figure out this guy's batting average of what he's done the last three games? You can't? Then get the hell out of here, you idiot. He's so dumb. So dumb. It's ridiculous. Can you do that, Sterling? Can you figure out a batting average over three games?
Get him some pen and paper.
I carry the one.
Divide by the remainder. Yeah. I think it's like, is he batting 110? He's 8 for 15, so I don't think he's batting 110. Well, I'll try it again.
Only thing I'm good at math in is sports. It's always been this way. You give me calculus, I'm out, dude. Like, I am so out. Sorry, I had to take it twice. Had to go to CMU because I couldn't take it at Mizzou. It's too hard at Mizzou.
UCM. Isn't it UCM now?
I think it'd be UCM because it's CMU, Central Michigan.
Yeah,
dude, I took it at the community college next door to Mizzou. don't ask me.
Good for you.
I passed there. But yes, the only math I'm good at is sports math.
Calculus is easy. You plus me equals us. It's calculus.
Everett's not listening, so I can say this, is that when you're older, nobody cares that you use a calculator all the time. So really, you don't have to know all the math in the world.
I'm with you.
And Everett, cursive is the biggest lie of all time.
That's true.
Middle school, high school, I was told, if you don't use cursive in college, you're going to fail. I never once used cursive in college.
My handwriting is like Spanglish. that it's like sometimes I'm doing cursive and sometimes I'm doing just regular writing. It just sort of flows in and out. It's like, well, that's a cursive E and then just a capital N. Like, what happened there? I don't know. That's just how I write. Who cares? I can read it. And I'm not writing things. I'm not writing, you know, I'm not sending people handwritten letters anymore. Okay, I don't have to do, I don't have a pen pal somewhere, so I don't think my handwriting matters. I can read it for my show. It's all that matters, right? But he's not listening right now, so that's fine. You know, use a calculator. It's all good. Sometimes you don't have a calculator.
You don't have to show your work when you're an adult.
Right.
There's no, you know, I added this to this. It's just, where's the calculator drawer? There you go.
Where's the calculator drawer?
There you go.
Where's the calculator? It's in the calculator drawer.
Yeah, with all my calculators.
You guys don't have a calculator drawer? It's labeled TI right there, Texas Instruments. It's a whole drawer of calculators.
How did Texas get the rights to every single calculator instrument? It seems like it's a monopoly.
You would think, yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's probably other calculator makers.
I've never heard of, like, Iowa Instruments.
Really? The II-80? You don't have any of those?
The New Hampshire Instruments? No.
I'm not sure.
No, I've not.
I'm not sure. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810, text line to be a part of the show. We'll talk with Josh Kaiser coming up at noon. Texas, Jason must have been bullied growing up. Now he's bully running everyone off. No, I'm inviting people in. Tech says, finally, someone's making a movie reference that Jason doesn't get. And it happens to do with music. So there it is. There's the connection, is I'm terrible when it comes to music, and that's perfectly fine. Not as bad as Gary Dieter, but terrible when it comes to music. But the movie references. By the way, that'll be in the cuts coming up on Friday if anybody did not hear that. So I was asking if he saw Billy Crystal, and he's like, I don't know, I'm not a music guy, so I'm not sure what Billy Crystal's in, what he does. I'm not a music guy. What a great line. Just a fantastic line.
That'll be in the bracket of sound as well, if I'm guessing. And
That's an early entrant. That's an early entrant in the bracket of sound next year.
We'll attach it to whatever team Gehrig's cheering for that season.
That's right, because he cheered for Creighton in the tournament.
Then he came in with an
Alabama Letterman's jacket on Friday. Getting ready for Alabama to take on UConn.
With Sherm, that he just has to wear UConn gear because it's just natural.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be the next thing that he wears. It's
exactly.
It's like Drake, not Drake here, but Drake the performer, who is now, God, is he a huge Arkansas fan now?
Has to be.
Like, Drake's got to love himself some Arkansas. Is he going to call the Hogs?
Yeah.
Ooh, in Arkansas, Fayetteville?
Not be a great match, in my opinion, but I guess I'm willing to find out, to be honest with you.
Let's take a time out. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. It is a seismic shift that could be in college basketball. Kentucky losing their head coach. He's heading to Arkansas, and it's all because of Rob Lanier. He is the biggest mover and shaker in college athletics, is Rob Lanier at SMU. And if you don't know him, you better get to know him, because he makes waves in college. We'll take a time out, come back. More Zone next. All right, hanging out here on this Monday edition of the show. 913-912-4810. Jason Anderson with you. Sterling Holmes, Jack Johnson, Dylan Michaels heading up until 2 o'clock. Sterling joining the show. Jack Johnson joining the show. And coming up at noon, we'll introduce the newest member. So we got we'll introduce somebody at noon.
One an hour.
Every hour for the next 2 weeks. We're gonna find somebody. We are gonna find somebody. I figured one wouldn't work, so let's go with two. You know?
It's like, whose line is it anyways, where you just do one word at a time and you have to finish a sports sentence? I think that'd be the way to go.
There's one more mic in here.
You're right. Well, that might be
small
for
chair. Small chair. The squatty chairs we can put in here.
We'll get a smaller person in here. That'll be fine. 913-912-4810. So the news in college basketball that has surprised a lot of people to a degree, but also not a surprise to a degree, and that is John Calipari's heading to Arkansas. I've never seen a fan base lose a national championship coach be so happy. So happy. Like, they are ecstatic, UK fans. Message boards. Can I drive him there? Does he need a ride? How can I get him to Arkansas? Do not tease me. Do not threaten me with a good time and then take it away from me and him not go to Arkansas. They are pumped. And they they don't have to pay $30 million to fire the guy, and he's heading there. And it's to me, it's a story of you are loved. You're like the senator of the state. You're the governor. You can run the whole state if you're the UK basketball coach, and you can be really successful. And if you start to struggle, and then you have the same sort of excuses every year, the same sort of excuses, the same thing over and over again, people stop believing it. And there was a real falling out with the fans and John Calipari about how much they liked each other. And it got to the point to where fans were just simply done with Cal. And now he's at Arkansas. And I never thought I would see Calipari leave Kentucky for a lesser program. But this is also the NIL world. I mean, this is the NIL. We talk about the NIL world for players. But without NIL, John Calipari is not at Arkansas because he's not recruiting the players at Arkansas that he gets to Kentucky. But if he's paying them the same that they would be at Kentucky or more to go to Arkansas, he can recruit. And the number two recruiting class with all of these 4- and 5-star players, he's already talked to Arkansas about having enough money in the NIL to bring them from Kentucky. So he's going to get the players. This is an odd impact. It's an odd secondary storyline of NIL and a coach changing a location because NIL is going to be bigger at Arkansas. He's also resetting the shot clock, and he's going to be beloved at Arkansas the way that people are just tired of him in Kentucky.
Do you think he wanted to stay in a similar location, like the Midwest / South? Because I'd be hard-pressed to believe you wouldn't want to go to USC. Like, USC would have way better jobs or way easier time recruiting than at Arkansas. USC, I think, is a better program overall historically than Arkansas, though I will say Arkansas actually has a pretty decorated past, mm-hmm. I think more so than people actually want to believe,
yeah.
Especially if you are a
'94.
Especially if you are a Mizzou fan. But yeah. I just found it, again, a little weird. It does seem like a step back going to Arkansas.
Oh, it is. It's a step down, but it's also resetting the shot clock. And it's weird because he's not going to get $30 million to get fired. He's just simply going on his own accord. They're not going to have to pay some sort of a buyout, Arkansas. They're just going to pay him, you know, around $8 million. And they're talking about $5 to $7 million per year in NIL that they're going to give him as part of, like, here's your salary. But also, man, we might have up to $7 million every year in the NIL for basketball specifically.
Apparently, he has a long-standing tie with John H. Tyson,
oh, yeah.
A billionaire who is a longtime Arkansas benefactor. So
he's friends with the kids of the Tyson family. Not Mike Tyson, but the Tyson chicken family. And also Jerry Jones.
That's all I was about to add.
Yep. Sorry,
no,
Dylan.
Good.
Damn it.
Nope.
Somebody has already chastised me on Twitter for stealing your idea of having a general idea of where the sun is and then putting your glasses on. Nice job, Jason, stealing and bullying Dylan into taking his idea.
No. It's more great minds think alike.
Sure.
Than
I'll take your word
mine.
For it.
Well, I guess my biggest question here for Arkansas is how did they go from Chris Beard was top of the list, then it was Jerome Tang, then it was Will Wade, all three, mm-hmm. swing and miss. And then you get to Calipari, and then all the boosters are like, well, we're going to give all this money to get him here. My biggest question is, was that the same for Eric Musselman, or had Eric Musselman already kind of had one foot out the door? Because you look at the tournament success the last 3 or 4 years, Musselman's gotten further than John Calipari. Now, John Calipari has won a championship. He, of course, can recruit very well. But I also thought Musselman could recruit pretty well. They had a top three recruiting class 2 years ago when they beat Kansas in the round of 32. So I wonder how it got to that point, or if it was Hunter Yurecek at Arkansas, kind of at this point being desperate of, I've already swung and missed on three guys that would mm-hmm. gladly take a job here, and maybe let's try Kentucky. Then the booster said, if you're going to go after him, we'll give you everything you need. I think it's a win-win for both sides, because as you said, Kentucky's happy about it, because I think they wanted him out. They just couldn't afford to fire him because of that buyout. And for John Calipari, I think there had been tension and strain of, you know, we have all these great teams, but they don't make it to the second weekend. So Kentucky, of course, holding themselves to their standard, they want more. I think it was just a relationship that had kind of reached its end. You didn't really know where you wanted to go at this point. You couldn't really afford to fire him. And now Calipari gets to go to Arkansas, who still has high expectation, good NIL, and also a great fan base, very rabid fan base.
Who do you want? I know you're not a full-on Kentucky fan, but you follow the team a lot. Like, Jason, who is the ideal?
Oh, everybody's talking about Dan Hurley.
Okay, well,
everybody's talking about, you know what, Mitch, show up tonight in Phoenix and then put a blank check in front of Dan Hurley, and how much will it pay, how much will it cost you, and he'll slide the check back to you and go, I'm good, Mitch. I'm okay. I'm going to stay here at UConn. Because what is Kentucky going to offer Dan Hurley that he doesn't already have at UConn?
Right.
They're going to offer him amazing expectations that you just won back-to-back national titles at UConn. You better do that here. Because if you're not doing that here, you're failing. Because what you did at UConn doesn't matter. It's only what you do at Kentucky now moving forward. I can't imagine a world where Dan Hurley leaves UConn for Kentucky. Because it's not like the past where UConn's paying a million or two and Kentucky's going, we'll give you 10. You know, they're making a lot of money. A lot of money. More money than you can spend in your lifetime. Well, I don't know. Give me a shot. I'll try. But they're making a crazy amount of money, and now you're uprooting your family. You've got Dan Hurley moving again. And unlike, you know, UConn, which I do think there's some pressure in UConn, but I think you burn out at Kentucky. Like, you will have a burnout factor to where, do you even want to continue to coach anymore? What do you want to do after that? I mean, Rick Pitino burned out, wanted to go to the NBA. Tubby Smith, they eventually got rid of him for a lot of different reasons. And then Calipari, his star shines incredibly bright. But the star that shines that bright is going to burn out quicker. And I didn't think he would be at Kentucky for 10 years. He's at Kentucky longer than I thought he was going to be, just because of how he was, just intense constantly and senatorial constantly, running the state, always recruiting, always on, always selling something, right? And recruiting and intense and all of that. And it's nonstop. There's no day of rest because you got to continue to recruit and you're sending guys to the NBA and then you're recruiting and following that up. And you don't have just that sort of, hey, I got this class returning and this is nice, that you're eventually going to burn out. I think it's different than at Kansas, to where even at Kentucky, it's more of a fishbowl that you're living in and your entire life is there. And I don't know how many coaches are willing to take that on now. When you can win a national championship, if you're Dan Hurley, two of them at UConn. Like, Kentucky doesn't offer you anything that you don't already have at UConn, except for a status symbol that I'm the Kentucky head coach. That's it. That's all they can offer you.
Chris Beard said no to Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Jerome Tang said no to Arkansas, right? Mm-hmm. And then Will Wade. Do they say no to Kentucky if Kentucky chooses to pursue those guys? So let's just say if you are a K-State fan, you think you're out of the – you're fine. All right, Jerome Tang posted, I'm still here at K-State, I'm not going. But then let's just say Kentucky starts calling. This is different. Should K-State fans be worried? And if you're Kentucky, would you want someone like that?
I was going to jump in front of you. You got it first here.
I was just going to say, if you're K-State, I'd be more worried about Baylor. I'd be more worried about Scott Drew going to Kentucky and Baylor calling Jerome Tang. That would be the concern I would have. I don't think Kentucky's going to hire Jerome Tang.
Sure.
I think Baylor's first call would be to Jerome Tang if Scott Drew took the Kentucky job.
I was going to say that, and I also believe that with Kentucky, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Kentucky, the boosters there are going to want to hire somebody that isn't coming off of a first-round exit in the NIT tournament. Like, I just think they're as good as Jerome Tang has been, right? Yeah. He's only 2 years into being a coach. If you're at Kentucky, you just lost John Calipari. You need to have a big home run here. You need to knock this one out of the park. If you were to lose a coach like him, it can't be we want the, I'm not going to say young upstart, but Tang's only 2 years into his coaching career. I think you're exactly right that the call would be Scott Drew. Drew would say yes to Kentucky. Baylor opens up. I'd imagine Baylor would then go, we want somebody who ran things pretty much the same way as Scott Drew. Let's go with Tang.
We're familiar with Baylor, or we're familiar with Tang. He's familiar with Baylor. He may not be the happiest there with the president at in Manhattan right now. He can come back here, and you know, he was here for 20 years, and we'll hire him as the head coach, and we'll pay him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you know, you can win a national championship at Baylor because they did win a national. I'm not saying you can't at K-State, but you know for a fact you can win one at Baylor because they've done that in the last 5 years.
I think the first call would have to be Nate Oates, wouldn't it? I would go to Nate Oates
well,
now.
Well, it depends on what you mean by first call. So the first call is
second
Dan Hurley.
Call. Second meeting is Nate Oates.
First call is Dan Hurley. Second call, I think Nate Oates is up there. But if you're Nate Oates, so it's a little bit like what people were talking about with Chris Klieman and Kansas State working with Gene Taylor. It's like, is this team going to go after Chris Klieman? And K-State fans, rightfully so, are going, does Chris Klieman want to leave the relationship he has with Gene Taylor and how good Gene Taylor is? And Gene Taylor's taking care of him. Nate Oates, does he want to leave Greg Byrne and somebody that's regarded as one of the best athletic directors in the country? He also has an $18 million buyout. So you're not paying $30 million to Cal to buy him out. So the $18 million isn't as substantial if you were firing Cal and then hiring Nate Oates. That might be a non-starter to say this is $50 million to get Nate Oates, firing Cal and then hiring him with the buyout. You don't have to pay the $30 million now. And they were clearly trying to collect money. They were trying to see if they had enough money to fire Calipari. It also wasn't a $30 million lump sum. It was $30 million equal installments monthly till the end of his contract. So it was roughly $6 million per year, and there was an offset clause. So he was obviously going to take another job. He wants to keep coaching. So I had talked about that. I think you can make a reasonable case. They would have only had to pay Calipari $2 or $3 million per year over the next 6 years to fire him. It's vastly different than saying you got to write a $30 million check. But you do have to write a check for $18 million to Alabama to get Nate Oates. My first call would be to Nate Oates after Dan Hurley, and then it'd be to Scott Drew. It'd be one of those two. If I land Nate Oates or Scott Drew, I feel like I've done my job as the AD to hire somebody who is established and has a track record, has been to at least one Final Four, and one of those guys has a national championship in Scott Drew. After that, then it gets murky. Then I think Rick Pitino's oddly enough in play here. If
Rick Tommy Lloyd.
I think, but he just signed a new contract extension. So what's his buyout?
Quinn like, Snyder.
Yes, Quinn Snyder has to be in play here. Obviously, Frank Haith, is he in play here? Why not Bruce Weber, you know?
Mike Anderson, I think he's in play.
Come on, man. Mike Anderson, you got to talk to him as well.
Anderson, probably,
Tubby,
too.
Tubby yeah. Smith, what about him? He's available. Billy Clyde Gillespie, where is he at? You got a lot of these coaches. You just got your pick of the litter if you're Kentucky. But it is interesting, unlike years past, where Kentucky might have their pick of the litter. Like, the money in college basketball has changed to the point that you can't just go and say, hey, let's go get the Baylor coach. He'll coach at Kentucky. Let's go get the Ole Miss coach or the Alabama coach. He'll coach at Kentucky. Now they're making a lot of money, and they're probably pretty comfortable, and they've built up a lot of equity there. Scott Drew leaves Baylor, there's zero equity at Kentucky. They don't care about winning a national championship at Baylor. You don't get the year here or there to struggle because, well, no, I've got this ring on. Yeah, that says Baylor on it. That doesn't say Kentucky.
Yeah, he's set for life for winning one national championship at Baylor.
Yeah.
Versus you have to win one mm-hmm. to keep your job here at Kentucky.
And is he the personality to be the guy that runs the state? To be the guy that is the face of the state of Kentucky and the highest paid public employee in the state? Is Scott Drew ready to be that guy where, well, I know Nate Oates can. I know Nate Oates will slide. Dan Hurley can, because Dan Hurley will let everybody know why everybody's out to get Kentucky. All right? Everybody hates Kentucky. The world is against Kentucky. We are viewed as, like, the worst program ever. Why does everybody hate Kentucky? Because he's done that at UConn, and he does that with everything. But he can rally the players, and they're about to win, you know, back-to-back national championships tonight. Nate Oates can be the guy that can be the face of that. Because that's also part of, like, can you find that personality? Chris Beard, I don't know. There's also the past, you know. Does Ole Miss hiring him and him coaching a year, is that enough buffer? Sort of like, you know, Bobby Petrino went to Western Kentucky for a year and then returned into, you know, the Power Five. Is that enough of a buffer? I think BYU and Mark Pope is in play here because he won a national championship in 96 with Kentucky. You know, he's a Kentucky guy. He's loved in the state. In 4 years, he's done some really good things with BYU, finished fifth in the Big 12 in the first year there. He can recruit. They play a fun style. They shoot a bunch of threes. And people love him. The fear would be bringing back a beloved figure that you then fire. You know, that's always the fear.
The Nebraska.
Yeah, and Kim Anderson. I mean, Kim Anderson, yeah. A beloved figure, comes back, and it was a disaster.
But we knew that. If you're a Mizzou fan, you knew he was going to be there 2 years. He
right,
was.
But
there.
A younger group of Missouri people only know Kim Anderson for being a disaster of a head coach and not for what he did for a long time at Mizzou. And that's unfortunate. That's sort of the way he's remembered on the way out.
Sure.
I think Mark Pope would be successful. I don't think he'd be as successful as Kentucky would want him to be.
I think it's not a dangerous job, but it is a scary job for somebody who has had some sort of status. Like, you bring up Scott Drew winning a championship at Baylor. Like Sterling said, like Dylan said, he could be there his entire career. They're never going to run him out of there because of where Baylor was when he took over. I mean, hell, it was right after the player murder happened in Waco. Like, really bad stuff. Yep. He takes over, and then we see Baylor years down the road. They win a championship. If he goes to Kentucky, it's not,
well, you got to start somewhere. Let's get to the tournament. No, it's you're going to have to get to the second weekend mm-hmm. that we haven't been able to do for a couple of years. And I think the only two coaches that would take that and have 100% confidence that's happening is Dan Hurley and Nate Oates. And you also got Dan Hurley's spot at UConn. Not that basketball is the thing at Kentucky. They love football, but it is basketball yeah. there. At UConn, basketball is the only thing there.
That's right.
So you are going to have all the money pumped into there. They don't really care that much about football over there. So Dan Hurley would likely say, I have everything I yep. could ever want here, whether I win or lose tonight.
Because
I have everything.
You go to Kentucky, you are competing with a highly paid football coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Mark Stoops gets a lot of money. Mark Stoops has priced himself out of getting a new job or getting a better job than Kentucky because of the buyout and how much money he's making. So somebody's going to have to come over the top of the money he's making yearly and pay the buyout. He's sort of, you know, landlocked there. You know, he's sort of contractually obligated to be at Kentucky for a long time, and they've put resources into Kentucky football to the point that Mark Stoops and John Calipari were fighting over basketball school versus football school. You know, they were butting heads, and somehow in the end, Mark Stoops is like, I won.
Yeah,
I won.
Rightfully
Bye,
so.
Cal.
Like,
you know,
he's in a conference where, regardless of if it's Mark Stoops there or not, you as an AD have to almost split the revenue between the two sports, regardless of if you're Kentucky, because of how big SEC football is. And if you're not trying to compete mm-hmm. at that, then you're actually losing your school money.
Yeah, but Kentucky has so much money there that they also spend more on basketball than others do. That, you know, is it attractive for Nate Oates?
I don't see Hurley, by the way, just leaving UConn. That's asinine to
what,
me. It's absurd.
What can they offer him that UConn doesn't offer, except for the status of I'm the Kentucky head coach? That's it.
The Kentucky basketball head coach might be the biggest figure in Kentucky, but I also think the biggest figure in Connecticut is probably the head coach of UConn. Like,
well, Gino.
Okay, Gino.
which head coach at UConn?
It makes no sense to me to see Dan Hurley. Because we talked about this before. UConn is now a blue blood. It may be considered new money blue blood, mm-hmm. but UConn is a blue blood in college basketball now. Why would you leave a blue blood like that to go and try and, I don't want to say revitalize, but try and...
To them, it's revitalizing. Years without a Final Four. The world is falling apart. The sun is going to go dark today. 9 years without a Final Four, all of a sudden it's, you know, mass hysteria. Cats and dogs living together.
But it could be a situation where Indiana had this happen to them. Indiana was, oh, we're a powerhouse. We'll always be one. Well, what's going on now?
Well, the difference is Indiana has won a national championship with a couple of coaches. Kentucky's got Adolph Rupp, obviously Rick Pitino and John Calipari, Tubby Smith, and then Joby Hall.
Sure.
So you got five coaches that have won a title at Kentucky. The only two coaches since Adolph Rupp that have not won a championship there, Eddie Sutton and Billy Gillespie.
Yeah.
And Eddie Sutton got caught cheating, and Billy Gillespie he had a lot of personal problems, and he had a lot of demons he was fighting, and he wasn't ready to be in that environment.
Sure.
And they saw it pretty quickly, and they fired him and got Calipari. Every other coach at Kentucky has won a national title that's gone there.
Well, if you look...
But you're not offering Dan Hurley that because he's already got... After tonight, maybe two.
To play devil's advocate, if you are Dan Hurley, we know that he can kind of be that guy that really takes pride in what he does, being the best of the best. I'm just simply throwing this out there. If you are Dan Hurley and you did have interest in the Kentucky job, there could be a scenario in which you look at that and say, I'm going to go take over Kentucky. I'm going to have as much success as I have at UConn. Now I have dominated the Blue Blood program at UConn. I have now brought Kentucky back to where it was in the first couple years of Calipari. Then you almost take over that status that John Calipari had, and it's now I'm entering in the conversation of, am I the greatest coach of all time? Because did it at Duke forever, only Duke. Bill Self has done it at Kansas. He's probably not going anywhere else, and I would probably lock that in with the lifetime deal. He's not going anywhere else. So then Dan Hurley could say, I made UConn, potentially, a two-time back-to-back championship winner. And if Kentucky said, we're going to give you all the money in the world, come here, build the same thing, and he wins maybe a championship or two at Kentucky, then you go, man, who is all the best of all time? Maybe Kay has more titles, but it was at one place consistently the entire time. Dan Hurley would go from championship to Kentucky and then bringing them back. You'd almost forget about Calipari at that point if Dan Hurley took over and started winning championships.
It's a great point because he'll be the 17th coach ever with multiple national championships if he wins tonight. But he'll just be the second coach ever, if he were to go to Kentucky and win a national title, to win a national title at two schools, one of those being a Kentucky coach and Rick Pitino, did that at Kentucky and did that at Louisville. But he's got two total. So if Dan Hurley were to go to Kentucky and win a national title, he would have three. He's already going to be in elite status if he wins tonight by being one of 17 head coaches in the history of the game to win multiple national championships. But that's a great point. What can Kentucky offer Dan Hurley? Elite status of one of the greatest that's ever lived because he's done it at two different programs and took UConn to back-to-back national titles if they win tonight, and then got Kentucky back to being on top and continuing the blue blood of the most wins, and if they win another national championship, because make no mistake, they're chasing UCLA, and they won't be happy until they get to 11, and if UCLA's still at 11, because they're at 8. And that's a big issue with Cal, is because they got to 8 in 2012, and it was, okay, 3 behind UCLA. And UCLA's struggling, and we got Calipari. And they're still at 8. There are 3 more away, because that number 11 has been sitting out there with UCLA for Kentucky. We got the most wins. If you're a Kentucky fan, we got the most wins. And the second most championships. If we have the most wins and the most championships, there's no debate as to what the greatest basketball program of all time is. And Dan Hurley can help get him over the top and get him there if he takes over. But, man, you better be ready for it to be 24-7, nonstop, never-ending. Your entire life is that. And that's difficult to do, especially when you're not going from you're getting a million to now you're getting 10. When you're getting really well taken care of in the Northeast, where you're from, and your family's there, and you don't have to uproot everybody again to go to Lexington and get used to a new place.
Well, it's like almost Kalen DeBoer, too, with Washington in the same spot of UConn, although Washington lost. It was, I could stay here forever and never have to worry about me getting run out of here. But he decided to take the job at Alabama because he knew that I'm always going to have the support of these boosters, these donors, recruiting is going to be easy to me. Does Dan Hurley think the same way? I doubt it because, again, Washington didn't win. So it was like, maybe I can go to Alabama, get over that hump. I'm always in the college football playoff. Yeah.
And I don't have to travel across the country to play in my conference in Washington.
That's
in the
another
Big Ten.
Part of it. That's another part.
I can go down to Alabama and be, play against the people that I'm actually bordering states with. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Mark Pope is definitely in play. Nate Oates, Scott Drew, Dan Hurley would be the first three people I would call, not in that order. It'd be, Dan Hurley. And then after that, let me figure out all the positives of Nate Oates and Scott Drew. And then, Sean Miller, I think, is in play. TJ Otzelberger, I think, is in play. Younger guy, fun personality. He's been more defensive style, but his time before at Iowa State, they were a huge offensive team. I mean, they were terrible at defense, and they were running up and down the floor, and he was one of the fastest teams. He's adjusted to his players, but is that nearly a name that's going to get the Kentucky fan base excited to go, hey, let's throw NIL at this coach so he can go out and get players? Or I'm not excited. No, thank you. I'll wait and see. Well, wait and see becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy of I'll wait and see before I invest. Well, now you're not getting the players because you don't have the NIL to invest. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up this hour next. All right, wrapping up the 11 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 10 o'clock hour, we told everybody Sterling Holmes joining the show here on Sports Radio 810, The Zone, 10 to 2. And then the 11 o'clock hour, introducing Jack Johnson being a part of the show as well here in The Zone. So thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
This is a truly extraordinary experience.
Yep.
I got to bounce, so
you got to.
Thank you so much.
You got to drive to Wichita, and then tomorrow we'll let people know who else is going to be a part of the show.
Number three
coming up about 3 or 4 minutes. We'll bring on somebody else that's going to be a part of the show. We're just going to do this every hour on the hour until we run out of people. And there's a lot of people in this world.
8 billion.
There are a lot of people.
You're all a part of the show.
It's a community. It takes a village to do 4 hours.